He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. 216-474-0092. That is the number to call in. Coming up in this hour, we will talk to Chris Rose. He'll join us at 1240. So we'll catch up with him. One of the things that came out of the Senior Bowl, and by the way, I'm going to be distracted here for a second. Listen, the Senior Bowl, right? Here's the problem with the Senior Bowl. Ready? It's the logo. So, like, we always have it on here.
You know
where I'm going with
this?
Yes,
I know where you're going.
No, but like subliminally, it made me think.
Did you go downstairs and buy some?
Yeah, I bought them yesterday. So it's the Reese's Cup, or Reese's Senior
Reese's.
Bowl. Reese's, whatever. He can say whatever he wants. I don't care. Last night,
How were they? Were they good?
No, here's what I did that was different. Do you know they make a popcorn too? It's like a Reese's Drizzle on popcorn.
Oh, my.
And I was picking up
popcorn and chocolate and peanut butter.
Oh, it was so good.
I got peanut butter on my popcorn.
It was so good. And I'm telling you that I think subliminally they're sending me messages that I need to eat it.
Baskin.
Is that wrong? Am I wrong? Am I crazy?
Eat some Reese's.
It totally like came out to me yesterday.
They used to have like bowls filled with them all over the place at the Senior Bowl where you would just like walk by and grab one.
Like the minis or the...
I have never been to the Senior Bowl. I am passing this along from people who have told me such things that they used to have bowls of them and you could just grab a Reese's cup.
Along with tubs of aspirin because, you know, with all the salt content, you got a headache.
So I've never been to the Senior Bowl, but I did work in college sports. I was at College Sports Nation at SiriusXM back when Phil Savage was I didn't mean to do that, but because he was also a host on XM at the time, he would always send Reese's from the Senior Bowl.
Really?
And
we're on the same page. Ignore him. Ignore him.
I'm always gonna say Reese's because that's
me too. Same as
but
yes.
What he would send, it was astronomical. It was if Hershey's made a version of this Reese's cup because it's the Hershey's company.
Right.
They had it and Phil sent it. We had, we didn't have like a closet, but our program director's desk was just piled high with Reese's that Phil had sent to the station.
I always thought he was a good guy. And that,
oh, 100%
now you've doubled down on it. 100% doubled down on it.
He used to live in the same apartment building as a friend of mine.
And?
Nice guy.
That's the story? He lived in... There's no stories about the apartment complex that you're about to drop? Some wisdom on us?
Nope.
Wow. That was like the ultimate tease.
It was back when he was a young pup with the Browns.
Andrew Berry is not going to trade Myles Garrett. What does that mean for the Browns? And is that a statement of saying we are close to contention because we are not going to trade him? Is that how you read into yesterday's message?
No.
How do you read into it?
They like having one of the best defensive players in the game on the defensive line, so they're not trading him. You're not going to get to where you want to be if you're looking for a defensive end to go along with a quarterback and everything else that you need. So you might as well keep the guy you already have under contract.
I think, one, as a fan, when you hear that, when you hear, okay, Andrew Berry says we're not going to trade Myles Garrett, I'm like, phew, okay, good. They've got a Hall of Fame player that they don't want to get rid of, that they believe in, and they believe he can anchor the defense moving forward.
You
right?
think he's a Hall of Famer?
I think he's going to be, yeah.
Me too.
Okay. But I also think that when you have talent, why would you want to give it up? And we know it sounded like he was a little disgruntled towards the end of the season, but then things seemed to simmer down. They must have had a conversation after he had... shown a little disgruntled and wanted to know what direction the team was going on. And maybe that was something that may have kickstarted some conversations towards an extension in his contract, because that seems to be where they're going with this thing with him.
Or maybe it was a ploy just to get a contract extension. Good for him.
Or maybe he was truly frustrated after a loss.
Which I can understand completely.
And we've seen...
He's out there busting his you-know-what, and it's not going anywhere.
The other part, too, is the Joe Thomas theory here. Like, do you want to be Hall of Famer like Joe Thomas that doesn't have any rings to go along with what you did, or, you know, this great playoff experience that, you know, led the team to a season that no one will ever forget and blah, 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 blah. We will never forget.
How's that go again?
Blah, 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 blah. But the key right now for Myles Garrett is that lasting implant in the back of your mind about him forever moving forward is his ability to get sacks, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So that is how we have embedded him into our minds. I'd like to embed that into my mind with saying, wow, he had all those sacks, and I'll never forget he was there for the Browns' first Super Bowl. he was there for the time they won that first Super Bowl, or they got to that first Super Bowl. Like, I think that's, you know, that's bigger than money. And I know we have this conversation yesterday about money. And really, is that ultimately why you're playing the game? I don't know. I think a lot of players have it because in their heart, they want to win a Super Bowl. They want to say, we were the best that ever walked down on the field. That I don't know if there's any money that can translate the same.
That was Roy Hobbs.
The best that ever was? But he got shot on his way doing it. That's the problem.
Oh, well.
So my question for you then is, do you think that the Browns are close to contention by what he's saying? I think what he's saying, and I think Jeff and I are on the same page for this, that what Andrew Berry's saying is, we have a Hall of Fame talent. Why would we let that go at any price? If you want two draft picks, now you're putting it out there saying, well, we hope we could have two more Hall of Famers based on this one Hall of Famer, rather than hanging on to one Hall of Famer. And I'd rather hang on to the Hall of Famer. And then knowing that you have, again, four picks in the top 103, that maybe you can find that perfect complement to him on the other side of the line. Because that's where they are right now.
First-round draft history is littered with players who didn't reach their potential. This one did. Just put him at defensive end and let's go.
Is there any part of you that thinks that's a mistake? That Andrew's saying that, you know what? If somebody came up to you and said three first-round draft picks for him, now were you thinking?
Yeah, but nobody will.
The question that came up yesterday as they were talking to him was like, if somebody came up to you while you were eating lunch or dinner and said, hey, I'll give you two first-round draft picks for Myles Garrett, would you do it? He's like, no. So he kind of doubled down on the whole thing, saying, no, I'm not trading him. I don't want to trade him. I don't think there's a Browns fan that...
I just wouldn't take his words as like, okay, if you're a Myles fan and you want him here, I wouldn't take his words as, whew, okay, good, he's going to be here. It's pro sports, folks. We all know what happens. Anything happens. And Myles might not, let's say they try to negotiate a new contract and it doesn't go well. Well, where's Amari Cooper now? Amari's in Buffalo.
Right, but okay. Amari's not Myles.
No, he's not. But, you know, the Browns wanted to keep Amari around and blah, blah, blah. And he ended up getting traded. If by chance contract talks didn't go well, you could be sure they'd be interested in hearing offers for Myles. I hope that he gets a contract extension and that he finishes his career as a member of the Browns. I think he's a special, special defensive player, and I don't want him going anywhere. But we all know the reality of pro sports.
Do you think, and this is a little bit off, do you think the Browns learned a lesson with what happened with Baker Mayfield? Do you think there was a lesson to be learned there? About noise getting out, about trying to bring in someone else, or about trying to upgrade when you have someone that has had success or even mild success. And I think Baker had success while he was here. And he had injury, too. And I also think Baker's just a different cat. Like, I think he takes things very, very personal and sometimes doesn't associate the business with the game. And that's okay. I don't have a problem with that because that's what makes Baker Mayfield.
It was well put
Baker
by you.
Mayfield,
well
right?
put by you.
So... And it's what drives him. It's what makes him the player that he is today. And he just got a nod for Pro Bowl, didn't he? For this year, I think he just got it because of injury. So I look at that and then I wonder, okay, do the Browns, did they learn anything that maybe they didn't know before? Especially ownership because of the way the Baker Mayfield thing went down. Because it wasn't pretty. Mm-hmm. It wasn't pretty at all. And, you know, the Browns sat there and were like, well, we got Deshaun Watson. This is going to work, even though they knew he was going to be suspended when he started. So they knew there was going to be a little bit of a pitfall to it, but and the whole storyline that was going along with what Deshaun was coming here, the baggage was not good, and Baker was like, all right, I'm out. Get me out of here. But Baker had to revive his career at two different teams before he finally found this place in Tampa where he's been able to settle in and have success. But I wonder sometimes when the front office makes moves for the Browns if they – take some of that stuff into consideration. And, you know, you sometimes need to worry about the PR there with a Myles Garrett and wonder what it's going to look like in the future. You have to play it out before you make a decision on things, right?
I would think...
For certain players.
I would think there was not a whole lot to learn there. The only reason I say it, Andy, is because I think they had already decided they wanted to move on.
I don't know. I think initially they kicked the tires on Deshaun and thought about it. And I don't know that they weren't 100% on moving on, because when Deshaun had said no to the Browns in the beginning, They wanted to patch things up with Baker, and Baker didn't want anything to do with them. Said, you had your chance. Now I see you later. Trade me. Get rid of me. Which, I'll tell you, I don't know.
Which they didn't have to do.
All they
had to do was, you know, give him a new deal, slap a franchise tag on him, whatever.
And would he have gotten over it? That's the question. Again,
of course he would have.
Well, it goes back to the Mike Tomlin. We want volunteers, not prisoners. And I think he would have felt like he was a prisoner if they would have made him bring him back.
Yeah, until payday.
It's the same thing. But are they closer to contention? And I don't know if... I think they are. But if you hang on to Myles Garrett, you are.
I don't know how you can look at a 3-14 team and truly think you're closer to contention.
So what do they need then? And did they tank the end of the season to say, is that how you got to 3?
I don't think they tanked anything. I don't think they were good enough to win.
Well, they didn't.
The only thing would be you should have played Jameis. If you're trying to give your team the absolute best chance to win, it wasn't by playing DTR and Bailey Zappi.
Dan, are they closer? Because I know we talked a little bit about this before. Do you think that you're making a statement by hanging on to Myles Garrett?
I think you're making a statement that you're not going to tear this roster down. I think you're making a statement that you think that winning is not far away from where this organization currently sits. At least that's how I read it. I mean, it can't just be as simple as, you know, well, we live in this binary world with this stuff where it's like you're either competing or you're in a toilet. Like, that's where you want to be. It's this binary world that everything is sitting in because it's easier to understand life that way. And so I think the Browns look at this and say, Myles Garrett brings us closer to the winning part. I want winning players. I want Hall of Famers. Let's go. And I think it tells you they want to rebuild that defense and get back to the speed that they had. And they want to rebuild that offense in this offseason because they think there's enough talent to make it work. That's what keeping Myles Garrett says. Moving on from Myles Garrett says, forget it, eject, let's go. I think they want to compete, and they think they're right around the corner.
Clearly they want to compete, and you're keeping Myles because you need a defensive end on the other side.
This is a team that went 1-31. I don't know that anything is clear sometimes. I mean, they know how to get back up in the draft.
Since then, Andy, they've won some games. You know, since then, they've actually put some things together. And I think they have a chance to compete next year. But to think we're right there, you were 3-14. You know, to think you're right there doesn't mean you can't. Washington turned it around. What did Washington win the year before? 4 games?
Yeah.
So...
Again, that's going to be our litmus for everything.
Sure it is, but they're not the first team to do it, Andy.
It's not easy, that's for sure, it doesn't happen that often.
Especially in a division where you're going up against Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and...
Whoever Pittsburgh puts out there.
Because they seem to win.
Yes.
As long as it's not Kenny Pickett.
It's all the same, but do you think the Browns are close to Super Bowl contention with the roster they have? I find it difficult right now, but I do think... hanging on to someone like Myles Garrett and not trading it away is something that says, okay, we feel like we can get there a little bit faster than maybe you do. 216-474-0092. Chris Rowe also coming up in this hour. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. So we're kind of just going through the whole, like, where we are with the Senior Bowl, what the Browns probably should be looking for, what they are looking for, and then the pressure of what they're going to do it too. Dan, you were saying Kevin Stefanski was on Sirius XM and offered us a little bit more wisdom.
When you win 3 games, you didn't do much very well. So we're looking at everything. And certainly, you know, you talk about the quarterback position is important when it comes to winning and losing. We get that. We've had different guys that we've won with. So we believe in our system and that a system that's going to adapt to our best players. And certainly you're thinking about the quarterback position when it comes to that. But for us right now, it's about putting the system in with Tommy, Reese, and this offensive staff and making sure that it's adaptable to whomever we got out there at all of those spots.
All right, and that was today. Was on Sirius XM today?
Yep, so. That was at the Senior Bowl.
Oh, good.
How was that for honesty? Hey, you win 3 games, you didn't do a lot of things very well. Bingo.
Is that typical Kevin though? Just okay. Look, here's the deal.
I think it might even be more forthcoming than typical Kevin.
You think so?
Well, he was.
We need to
honest.
Make sure we have a system that we can adapt to whoever we bring in. Yeah. Right? That's what he's saying.
It's the old Don Shula thing, Andy. I hate coaches. This is our system. Let's find players. It's probably easier to find good players than it is to find a player who perfectly fits my system, right?
Right.
So get good players and create the system that works for them. And it can be based off of what you do, and, you know, the type of system you want to run. That's okay. But, you know, get good players and then put them in a system that works.
Audio courtesy of SiriusXM.
Nice. That's nice of them.
That was. They're such good people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Way to go. Not only did they give us the Reese story, but now they also give us this. So they're just filling the show up with content today. 216-474-0092. Jeff, you got the Senior Bowl, you got Combine, then you got the draft, then you get to where you want to go. And I wish I had more faith in where they're going with this thing right now. And I think they had 3 wins last year. You know,
are you looking for them to go, you know, 14-3?
No, I'm looking for them to put a team out on the field that's going to be able to compete, that isn't going to throw games away. And I literally throw games away. The interceptions are ridiculous. And, you know, being able to find your own team in somehow, some way, changes things. I also, you know, the season was frustrating because it felt like they had a plan. The plan finally blew up, and I don't know that we're going to see that plan anymore. Then maybe they said to themselves, maybe we can salvage this thing with Jameis. Let's not jump off the ship. And then once Jameis was like, this isn't working, this isn't going to happen. Yet in a year where they were able to beat Pittsburgh and beat Baltimore in the same season, that gave you some sort of like carrot that's out there that like, okay, well, maybe it's not as bad as I see. And are they trying to manipulate this so that they can get a better draft pick? And let's bail on the end of the season. So everybody jumps out of the boat at the end of the season, and now we're all back in? It's hard. It's hard to be a Browns fan.
Let me throw you a thought that we haven't really discussed.
Okay.
But it goes along with this. You had a quarterback last year who came to town with a certain reputation of throwing the ball around in Jameis.
Right.
And when he was here, he had some great moments and threw the ball around and had some not very good moments. Does it give you pause to think, well, wait a minute, they had a guy who has a lot of talent and has accomplished some big things and who beat Pittsburgh, who beat Baltimore, who threw for 497, over 600 if you include the interceptions returned by the other team, and they couldn't coach him up any better? Does that give you any pause, or was Jameis already a finished product who was you couldn't coach that out of him when he got here?
Do you think they were able to coach up Jameis at all or no?
No.
I don't think so.
I think everything we saw from Jameis was what Jameis has been all about in his career. And I think we've been waiting for somebody to be able to coach him up, and I wonder if that's possible. If it is possible, well, by golly, our guys didn't do it. I mean, our guys benched a quarterback who beat Pittsburgh and Baltimore and threw for almost 500 yards in a game. Think about that.
It's true.
I mean, you beat Pittsburgh, you beat Baltimore, you threw for 497, and you benched him because you couldn't, keep him from throwing interceptions or being what he's been in the past? I just wonder, does that give you pause, anybody? Or does it not give you any confidence in the ability of the coaches here? You know, they just promoted, Bill Musgrave to quarterback coach, right?
Right, right.
Well, he was already here. Yeah. He was already an offensive assistant. You don't think he was working with the quarterbacks a little bit?
Yeah, I don't. I don't.
Tommy Reese was passing game coordinator. Now he's offensive coordinator. Tommy couldn't coach that out of him. Kevin Stefanski was here. Kevin couldn't.
No, they just couldn't wonder. Coach it out. But no,
okay.
They couldn't.
I just wonder. You know what I mean?
You're going to throw something at me. In fact, prepare what you want to throw at me, Jeff.
What do you got, Pen?
Let me get something.
Okay, good.
I have a pack of crackers or something.
Remember, I think it was 2 segments ago, we went on a whole thing of Bo Nix and Sean Payton. You mean to tell me Sean Payton couldn't coach that out of him?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this. Sean Payton he started in limited doses in New Orleans, and then they ended up trading for Derek Carr, and Sean Payton was out by that time. I wonder, had he stayed with Sean Payton, because he was really good for Sean Payton. He was.
He threw some picks with Sean Payton that were pretty
Sure, but every quarterback throws picks. I mean,
Bruce Arians has a Super Bowl ring he could drop down on a table at any given point and a couple appearances, too. Bruce Arians can cut that out of him?
I'm not saying that Jameis was the answer. What I'm wondering is, does it say anything about our coaching staff? The answer might be no, it doesn't, because Jameis is a lost cause. That could be the answer. I don't know. I'm not pounding the drum for Jameis here. What I'm saying is, does it make you think that our coaching staff couldn't coach him? And if Dan thinks no, it's because he thinks Jameis stinks. And that's okay. I mean, we saw some just awful passes. But we also saw some of the most thrilling football we've seen here in a very long time.
Stinks is a push. I would not say stinks. He is what he is. He's a gunslinger. He's going to make some passes that are going to make your head hurt. He's going to make some passes that are going to make you go, wow, that was really fun.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel, what a throw. It's just Jameis. Just guy is what he is. I wouldn't use Jameis as the example of anything besides
Robert Mays. Eh. When Robert was with us, mentioned, you know, he could see him bringing him back. I wonder. I don't know. I personally think this coaching staff in this front office has probably seen enough, which I think is interesting because he had some great moments here. Great moments.
I just
and before anybody goes too nuts, Joe Flacco did the exact same thing, but Joe did it in the playoff game.
True. That's
so,
true.
You know, keep that in mind.
But you got there. I think that was half the battle. Even no matter what the outcome was.
No, that's a fact. That's a fact.
You got there. Somehow, some way, there's got to be a way to get through a season with one quarterback who can guide you to the playoffs. And we're not sitting here worrying about the fact that we've used 8 different starting quarterbacks since 22.
Listen.
Eight different starting quarterbacks. There's no world where that's success. None.
I have a hard time putting any of it on anything other than extremely unfortunate luck, because it goes through many coaching staffs, it goes through many front offices, it even goes through a couple of owners since the team returned in 99. I mean, you got to get a break once in a while. Maybe this is the year you get a break. You get the right guy.
It's hard to imagine that you've got, and I understand injuries happen. You have an organization that has had 2 quarterbacks since they came back in 99 that have played every game there in the entire season? Just 2. It's 3 seasons. Baker did it in 20 and in 19, and then Tim Couch did it in 01. Something's got, you're never going to have until you have 1, maybe 2 quarterbacks in a season. And knowing it now because it's 17 games, knowing it. And so that's why I just think it's so important. This draft is just so important. And it just don't reach at number 2 on a quarterback that you like and don't love. If they love that quarterback, then I'll be all in. And I will love that quarterback right there with them until we don't love him anymore. But just if there's any hesitation or any doubt at number 2, don't take that quarterback. It just doesn't feel like it's the right year. JJ is in Cleveland. Hi, JJ.
You took the words right out of my mouth, man.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
No, I'm not at the top with any one of those quarterbacks. Me personally, I would like to try to steal Justin Fields from the Steelers, and maybe Travis Hunter at number 2, or you know, you go defense to help Miles out. But you get Travis Hunter, you get somebody on defense, possibly somebody on offense, you know. Ward is a little suspect at times, you know, maybe can fill in for Ward. You know, that's my best case scenario. I would like to see it. Or you can trade down just a little bit and still get Travis Hunter, you know, or a good defensive player to help him out, because we're still not sure about Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. I haven't heard nothing about him, so we might need somebody to fill in there. So I would say no quarterback at number 2. You know, we play our hand, and maybe we won't need one next year. And if so, then we'd probably be picking high.
Thank you, JJ. Thank you. Appreciate the phone call. I wonder what the majority of Browns fans think about what they should do it to. It doesn't matter what we think.
I'll bet we got about 3 months to figure that out.
Do you think they think they should draft a quarterback too?
216-474-0092.
What's the pulse of the city on this thing? As I get asked that all the time. Like, what do you think? What are they going to do? And then you get people coming in here and they're like, they're totally taking this person. And then, you know, Andrew's probably the only one that knows. And Jimmy has him. Mitch is on St. Clair. Hi, Mitch. How are you?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Good. What's going on, my man?
say, man. Look, I think it's more so of management. Look, do I want Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward at two? Of course, I want either one of those quarterbacks. I think both of them are good in different ways. Cam is more of a gunslinger. I think you can fix that. But I think Sanders will be a little better in the system because he's a pocket presence. He's accurate. He doesn't make too many mistakes. The offensive line in Colorado was trash, yet he knew how to do what he had to do as far as finding them wide receivers. And he had no running game. So I think he will be a better fit. But I think Cam Ward will be good as well. But, look, that's coaching. I think we have a good coach. I think Stefanski is good. I think last year was just a – it was just a bad year. And as far as our quarterback system, our situation, we had one. I'm sorry. We had Baker Mayfield, and either Barry didn't like him or Stefanski didn't like how he was running things in his system. I don't know. But when I see a quarterback succeed like how Baker succeeded in Tampa Bay, I do have questions about certain things. I mean, Flacco went to the playoffs last year, but, I mean, when a quarterback – it's not easy to throw for 40 touchdowns. No. I'm just going to put that out there right there. It's not easy to throw for 40 touchdowns. So I think Stefanski kind of got humbled when Deshaun Watson thinks he can win with Watson, but I think it wasn't really Stefanski. I think he was okay with Baker coming back next year, getting healthy. I don't think it was AB. I think it was the owner who was too – thirsty, I should say, and was so wanted to go so fast to getting a quarterback and said, "Oh, I'm gonna get Watson, who even didn't play
right
at a year."
And so, Mitch, let me ask you this: is that why those guys are both still here? Is that why you believe that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If this was AB and Stefanski's decision, they was like, "Let's go get Watson." I totally believe that they would have been like, "You guys got to go. You messed it up. We had Baker Mayfield."
Right.
But I don't think it was them. I think the owner was like, "Let's go get a big name." Watson was big. He was good. We all knew it. Because, look, we can't lie to ourselves. When we got Watson, we was all hyped and happy. Oh, we got Watson. But it just didn't work out. And, obviously, I think Stefanski knew that his system quarterback has to stay in the pocket, which why I say Sanders. And I think Baker Mayfield did pretty good in his system as well. But let me hear your thoughts, fellas. I think that Sanders is the best. And I think we messed up and screwed up with Big Ben, as I always say.
Bye, Mitch. Thank you. Mitch on St. Clair calling in. I think we've kind of said what we needed to say about this too. So, but we'll get back into it as well because Chris Rose will think we'll find out what he thinks about this too. So, Chris Rose is next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. It's the Chris Rose theme song. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter if it's attached to a university or not. We just give it to the marching band that loves Chris the most. And of course, he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Christopher. How are you?
I am great. How are you guys?
We're good. Weather's a little bit warmer around here. We're not, you know, below zero. Life is good. Life is good.
Things have calmed down in Southern California for you? Yes? No?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we're in good shape. We got massive rain the other day. So that was wonderful.
Good.
Needed it. As of right now, air quality's good. We're hanging in there. Thank you for asking.
Mm-hmm. And a big birthday in your family there, huh, Mr. Rose?
Yeah, well, I mean, a birthday. I don't know if big birthday is the right way to term it. It wasn't a milestone or anything.
Wow.
But, yes.
Congratulations. Happy birthday.
Thanks. Yeah, it's weird. Congratulations. I didn't do much.
Wow.
But, yeah, you know.
You won the race. Yes. That's all that matters, Chris. That's all that matters.
I hear you, brother. It was very, very nice. Yeah, I had a nice meal at home. It was great.
All right. I see the pictures. I feel like I'm a part of the family when you follow him on Instagram. You could be a part of the Roses if you want to. Follow him on Instagram or on X at Chris Rose. All right, Chris, big interview this week. We happen to be talking about Kenny Lofton, too. And you've got a big interview with Kenny on the Rose rotation right now. Give us some of the highs and lows of that interview and why we want folks to go over and listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, he was great. He was, you know, Kenny's kind of an open book. So we covered it all about the team as it, you know, when he came over in the trade from Houston, how he found out about it, what it was like to get over here and grow up with all those dudes that eventually helped formulate that 95 team that snapped a 41-year drought. We talked about that team's importance to the city and whether or not they knew how big a deal it was, all that sort of stuff. We talked about him kind of hopping around from team to team pretty much after that. With the exception of a several-year stay once again for part two of his Cleveland journey, you know, I didn't even realize this. He never played more than 129 games with any other team in the bigs.
No more than one season with anybody other than Cleveland.
Yeah, it really was incredible. And so we talked to him about a lot of things regarding the Hall of Fame. If people remember, he only spent 1 year on the ballot. In order to remain on the ballot, you have to get at least 5% of the vote. He got less than 4%.
Yeah.
And then with Ichiro just going in last week and a lot of stuff floating on social media about comparing their numbers and everything, I did talk to him on the rotation, and he had this answer.
Yes. They're letting the little guys in again. Should have been unanimous, but again, he's the first ballot Hall of Famer. Then I said, okay, my numbers are not that high up there as the writers want to look at. So I'm like, okay, after all these years, hopefully because Ichiro is now in, eventually it should be my time.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
It does. I was always surprised that he did not get more than 5% of the vote because there were guys even this year that, like a Dustin Pedroia, who people were like, well, yeah, if you think about it and you factor in the injuries and everything else, which I don't think you can, but some people think they do, he started out at 10% this year, which was not a good number. Billy Wagner, who just got in on his 10th and final year on the ballot, started at, I want to say, less than 15% his first year, and then eventually works his way to over 75% of the ballot. So just staying on the ballot is key, and I thought that Kenny really got screwed by it not happening.
But he was on, he was on a really tough ballot, too. I mean, he was that 2013 ballot that he was on, 10 of those guys made the Hall of Fame since then.
You see, that's where the injustice is.
That's where it's not right.
Yeah, that's the injustice is that he didn't get the 5%.
Yeah, the problem was is that people were, for whatever reason, used that year to punish people who were suspected of PEDs. And so go look at the ballot, do your own homework. Even for guys who got in, there were some people who they just didn't. It was a year where nobody got in. Nobody got in. And that's horrible for the Hall of Fame. To have an entire year where nobody goes in, like, come on. What a joke.
That was the year Jeff went to Cooperstown.
It is the year I went to Cooperstown,
yes.
Chris.
Good job by you.
Thanks,
good
buddy.
Job by
it's his
you.
Fault.
Thanks.
His fault.
I appreciate
that. Away.
I appreciate that.
I mean, what'd you do? Go eat ice cream at the county store? What'd you do?
They had an umpire who got in.
Great.
That's what I thought. I wasn't at the ceremony, but we went to visit, and there were three people who were put in.
Wait, there was a ceremony just for the umpire?
No. Well, yeah, they had a Hall of Fame induction.
So. Yeah, that makes sense.
But there were no players. It was really weird.
Standing room only for that one, I'm sure.
Sure, I'm sure it was.
Plenty of empty chairs, folding chairs in the back.
Do you think, you know what I think really hurt Kenny is something that you mentioned, and Dan and I talked about this last week. You know, he was with the Indians for so long, but sometimes a guy goes to so many different teams, and Kenny went to, what, 9 other teams for just like a year each? Yeah. I think sometimes a guy gets labeled that, well, you know, he was just hanging on. No, he was actually going places and playing pretty well. But I think that might work against him as well.
Yeah, we talked about that on the podcast, which you can get on our John Boy Media Baseball YouTube channel. If you follow me on social media or Chris Rose Sports, there's all sorts of links. So you can watch it on YouTube if you want to do that. You can download it on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. So go listen. But we talked about that, whether or not he felt like it hurt him. And he said, well, listen, some of those teams would not have made it as far in the playoffs if they hadn't traded for me because they didn't have a legit leadoff man, and I provided that. You know, Kenny has always been confident in his skills, and I love listening to him talk. He was great, and he's actually going to be a part of something that I'm hosting next week in Cleveland. I'm looking forward to getting there. The Greater Cleveland Sports Awards turns 25 next Thursday. And we're having it down at the home of the Cavs. In years past, you're probably like, well, I can't afford $10,000 for a table. You don't need it. There's $75 tickets to enjoy the night, to have access to all these wonderful athletes, past and present. One thing I'm going to be doing is hosting a 20-minute roundtable about the 95 Indians, the 30th anniversary team. So Kenny will be there, Charles Nagy, Jim Thome, Mike Hargrove, and we'll chop it up for 20 minutes, tell stories, Albert Bell, Manny Ramirez, the amazing run they had that year. So come out and join us. I can't wait. I'm flying in special for it, and I love being able to do it. I hosted it year 3, I believe, and now here we are at year 25.
We know Albert Bell had a tough relationship with the media. I'll leave it at that. We also know his career was cut short with the hip injuries. I still think he's a Hall of Famer, Chris. Do you?
Yeah, I think that you could certainly make the argument that over a 6-year span, the only other as feared hitter in the American League was probably Frank Thomas. You know, I think it's probably those two, and that's it. Maybe Ken Griffey Jr., I suppose. But, I mean, we're talking about the top of the top here.
Right.
You know, but I'm one of those guys that you can't play the what-if card. It's either you are or you aren't. I understand it. His OPS in his career is over 900, which is elite. I don't know. It's a tough one. That's a real tough one. I can see it either way. I really can.
If it weren't for the injuries, you know, I think he would have continued to put up great numbers. Baseball very rarely does like the Gale Sayers move, you know?
Right. Yeah, they just don't. I mean, even with the injuries, he still had 23 homers his last season, and he finished at 381 for a 12-year career. So, you know, at that point, he was still hitting home runs. Yep. Another 4 or 5 years, you're talking about the 500 home run club easily.
Yep.
And then it'd be hard to keep him out. But then again, it is the writers, and, you know, they kept him out of the MVP circle in 1995. Which was a certifiable joke. There's no way that he wouldn't have won the MVP if we had had today's, the way we look at the game metrically. There's just no way that a first baseman who basically had half the WAR of Albert Bell that year. You know, I'm curious now. Albert Bell had a WAR of 7, just a B WAR. Mo Vaughn's was 4.3. No, there's no way that he would have won the MVP.
Yeah,
zero.
We like Mo, though, because he moved to Cleveland for a while.
Hey, I've got no problem with Mo Vaughn. He didn't vote for himself.
No, exactly right, yeah. Chris. That's exactly right.
Chris, Super Bowl thoughts as we head into this one next week.
Chiefs are wearing white. Does that mean anything?
It does, actually. Won it 2 years ago wearing white.
Exactly.
Philly. I know. I'm trying to figure out why people are sick of Kansas City.
Me too.
It was one of their If you eliminate everything else, think about how many close games they had this year. They won all those games. They basically threw away the last game of the season. Every one of those games was exciting. Kind of came down to the wire. It was all within a touchdown. And I think that makes it better. It bothers me that people are sick of it already. Shouldn't be that way, my friend.
So a few things. I think they do feel like, I don't know what percentage of non-tinfoilers feel like the referee thing is real. Like, I'm talking about reasonable people here. I'm not talking about people who are trying to do this and that. I can't tell if Josh Allen got the first down. I can't. And then on the catch by Worthy, at first I thought it was interception. When I saw it live, I was like, oh, he picked it off. And then I looked at it again, and I said, I don't know. And then people say, well, the ball hit the ground. The tip of the nose hit the ground. That's not the point. The point is that it didn't move, I don't think. And then people say, well, Derwin James just had an interception overturned with the same sort of thing earlier in the play. You know, but I get that. To me, that's the problem. It's the inconsistencies of the calls, not the calls in a vacuum simply with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that that's a bigger problem than, oh, the Chiefs get every call. In some instances, they do. They do get calls. I thought that the two calls against Houston the previous week, even though the NFL came out and backed them, I didn't see it that way. Do I think that they're going to look at them again this offseason? I do. I really do. But, you know, that can't simply be it. mean, look, they've got a coach that's very likable. Have you ever heard anybody say they don't like Andy Reid?
Nope.
Nope. I think of him every time I eat nugs.
Except for that kid in the punt, pass, and kick that he towered over.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
We've all moved on since Andy was 13, which there's no way he was 13.
No, I don't know. I think he was 24.
He was probably a junior at BYU, is my guess. Mahomes, some people don't like him, I guess, because of the whininess or whatever, whiny look on his face. He's awesome.
He's good for the game, Chris.
He's great, and he handles himself extremely well. He's got some stuff going on in his family, and he's still able to keep it like on the straight and narrow and deal with everything, in my opinion, like A++. Some people don't like the Taylor Swift stuff. Get over yourself. I mean, she's been great. What does she do?
She
doesn't point the camera at herself.
Nope.
She was on air last year at the Super Bowl for less than a minute. She seems to love a guy from Cleveland, Ohio, which gives all of us hope.
Yes.
A guy from Shaker can embrace a guy from Cleveland Heights, we've reached the top of the mountain.
Hell yes. We have reached new heights.
That's true.
I see what you did there.
Well done.
Anytime a guy from Northeast Ohio can, hook up with a rich gal, we're all for that, aren't we?
I mean, come on, guys. Let's think about what we're complaining about. Holy, I hate to ruin the good times, but are we not going to talk about the Browns quarterback Senior Bowl situation here? What are we doing?
We'd have to extend you into the next segment if we did that, Chris.
Oh, well, we don't want to do that.
You're getting paid by the second. And I wanted to talk about Electronic Eye on the first down, but we can't do that because God knows I can't get out of
next
my garage.
Week, write it down.
I can't get out of my garage without tripping that eye. You think they could figure out a first down with the same kind of technology. Chris, we love you. We love you. We'll talk to you later.
Well,
I'll see you in Cleveland next week, boys.
Thanks, buddy.
Stop by the studio. Talk to you later. Bye, Chris.
Bye.
All right. He is Chris Rose. He's a weekly regular. We love him. Rose Rotation, NFL Network, all those places. You know where he's at. He's also on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and we thank him for that.